Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, who promises to come back to judge the living and the dead. Amen. Have you heard this time-honored adage about war? War is long periods of boredom, punctuated by moments of sheer terror. In fact, among the hardest parts of being a good soldier is standing guard and staying alert for danger. No wonder falling asleep on duty is such a serious offense. It's when soldiers get sleepy and complacent that the enemy has the greatest opportunity to attack. This is a perfect picture for the truth God brings us today through St. Paul, the Apostle of Jesus Christ. You might say that from God's point of view, we are in the time between the first coming of Jesus when he came as our Savior, and the second coming when he returns as King and Judge of all mankind, also called in the Bible the Day of the Lord. It's a real honor to be living at this time, but it's also a dangerous time because of the temptation to get spiritually lazy, bored, and sleepy. Our biggest enemy may not actually be the devil, but ourselves. And so we need to hear God ask all of us today, will you stay awake? Like any good soldier, we're glad to say yes, but we should know why we are able to say that. It has to do with what God has made us deep down to our core. Here's the first reason God gives us. It's because we're not sons of the darkness. A growing number of people in this world would say there is no such thing as the end of the world, at least not some cataclysmic end that God is going to bring about. It will just keep on going. But this is not a new sentiment. St. Peter predicted that this would happen already back in the first century. You must understand, he says, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their old evil desires. Scoffers will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. It's not coming to an end, they say. That's a religious pipe dream, a bunch of doomsday stuff. Yet we Christians have learned to trust Jesus on this one when he says, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And so we take it seriously when his apostle warns, you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Few people actually expect that someone is going to break into their house tonight. Even fewer people think that Jesus is coming back to judge the world tonight. Christians, maybe, but way too few of them even expect it. Those that could be called the sons of darkness or children of the dark night certainly don't expect it at all. Now, when the Bible uses the phrase son of or children of, it's a descriptive term. A son of a jackal might describe a sneaky, underhanded person. A son of his times might mean he was caught up in the thinking of his generation. Here the Bible is speaking about those who are the sons of darkness, or sometimes the children of darkness. Paul says about them in Romans chapter 1, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Just as someone in pitch darkness has no clue which direction to go, so human beings by nature are in the dark about God's plans to judge the world. They don't believe it. In fact, we're told, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Peace and safety are great blessings from God, aren't they? But what a foolish thing to announce when your country is under attack. Then it would be far better to have the sirens going off and people ducking for cover in bomb shelters. God's destruction of this place will take place suddenly, Paul says, like labor pains on a pregnant woman. A woman expecting a child will certainly know approximately when a baby might be coming, but left to herself, she really doesn't know when the baby will be born until the first labor pains come. That's the point. We don't know when Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. He's made that clear. It is the foolish unbelievers, those who reject the clear words of their Lord and Savior, who will be caught unawares by their judge, only to face his anger. He uses the picture of nighttime. For those who sleep, he says, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. The dark of night is a time when most people relax and go to sleep. It's also when most alcohol is consumed and people let down their guard, getting drunk and out of control. And so it is that the sons of darkness, or the children of darkness, those that are living in the darkness of unbelief, guilt, and spiritual death, will be totally caught unaware by the return of Christ. It will be to their great terror, and yes, to our great sadness, that many living in the world, eating, drinking, and making merry, will suddenly be screaming in terror as they realize that Christ was right, that his kingdom was real, and they rejected it in favor of the temporary pleasures and distractions of life in this meaningless, passing world. No matter how foolish we may appear to this generation, the world desperately needs us Christians loudly and clearly to sound the alarm. Your judge and Lord is coming soon. Repent. Some will listen. But if this message terrifies you, then remember why Paul is saying this to his dear friends in Christ. The reality is we are not sons of the darkness. Instead, yes, we are children of the daylight. Listen how St. Paul speaks to you believers in Christ. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Notice how matter-of-factly the apostle speaks to you Christians. And rightly so. He's just echoing what Jesus himself said to us all. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a wonderful thing it is to have eyes that can see light, even dim light, and in color. A world is opened up to us through our eyes. Jesus says your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart, have been enlightened so that you can see the things of God that have been revealed to us, who he is, what he's done, and what he has made of us, where we will spend eternity, and yes, the knowledge that he will be coming back soon. What does that knowledge do to us? Lot. The apostle urges us, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. The Christian life is one of being awake, being alert, and ready to see our Savior again. And his return isn't a terrifying thought to us, but one of wanting to be prepared, just like you'd want your house to be prepared for an honored guest. It means being always alert for his coming, dressed in clothing, fitting for our King. Paul goes on, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. The clothing, he suggests, is really military clothing, the kind of clothing to keep you safe in your spiritual battles, a breastplate of faith and love, the hope of salvation as a helmet on our heads. Get ready to fight as Satan seeks to attack you and pull you away from your Savior. But he will not succeed. Why? He goes on, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Jesus is not coming back to condemn us to hell, but to give us life with him in heaven. He appointed us to this, the great teaching of his election of grace through Jesus Christ. He died for us. Is there ever a greater proof that you can be sure of God's love and the gift of eternal life And even though physically you will fall asleep night after night, spiritually your eyes are wide open as you await His salvation. It's like we parents teach our children to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." May I reflect on two thoughts to take with you as we think of Paul's words here. Here's the first. Stay awake. Be prepared. It's like a pastor who moved up to Alberta, Canada, to serve a new congregation. Some of his seasoned members counseled him, "As winter approaches, make sure you never let your gas tank get below half full." It was a bit of a nuisance, always having to top off his car. But in that bitter cold climate, it kept him from getting stranded on the frozen plains. It's a picture of our own spiritual preparedness. Keep filling up your spiritual gas tank long before you feel you need it. We may sound like a repeating recording, but it's true that God warns us to keep hearing the gospel of our Savior. Keep taking the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ's death for you. The Holy Spirit will keep your faith alive and vibrant, ready to see your Savior at a moment's notice in joy in your heart. The second thought is found in the final words of this text. "Therefore," he says, "encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." In our life of many decades in this world, we continually need each other's encouragement and faith. It's like the story of a man who recently ran a marathon, 26 miles, in London. In a short video shared online, a man in a black cap begins to double over and is on the verge of collapsing as other participants whiz by. But before he falls to the ground, another runner comes from behind him and grabs his arm. He's able to hold the runner steady enough to keep going. Shortly after, another person appears on the man's other side. Together, the three runners make their way to the finish line. That is such a perfect picture of our life as followers of Jesus Christ. We're not running a quick sprint. Our life in Christ is more like a marathon, and even those prepared for it find their legs getting rubbery and their lungs burning for oxygen. They get tired. We need the steady hands and strength of our fellow runners. We join them in worship. We pray for them. We build Jesus. We talk Jesus with them. We build each other up in faith. That's the church, the communion of saints. Together in Christ, we will cross the finish line. Will you stay awake? By God's grace, the answer is yes. Amen.